We don't.
You're just talking to yourself?
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm talking about here today is cellulose, and we've as a common trait in molecular modeling studies, sometimes you reduce things a little bit. This is not quite on the level of considering a racehorse to be a sphere in a modeling situation, but we've reduced two cellulose chains in this case to two methanol molecules, and so we've got one methanol hydroxyl group here, hydrogen bonding to another methanol group with the free hydroxyl here. So this is a very classical representation of the typical cartoons of molecular structure that we have where we consider atoms to be spheres. And the presentation here is that I want to reinforce that this is a simplified study. So we've allowed the acceptor methanol molecule to take any orientation that it wants to have to give a minimal energy. And we've constrained the hydrogen bond length and hydrogen bond angle to certain values. So we could let all the other atoms optimize, get changes in the properties, structural geometries. And we're going to show how what the energy surface is for the methanol dimer in terms of these geometric variations that we did. And we're going to we're going to study these methanol dimers with electron density theories atoms in molecules theory worked out by Richard Bader from Queen's University. And then we'll look at the energy surface in terms of hydrogen bonding as we determine it from the atoms in molecules or AIM theory. And just a brief description here, we used the B3LYP6311 plus GDP, or polarization, yeah, it's G star star, where we have polarization functions on the D orbitals for the heavier atoms and P orbitals for the hydrogen. And we used the Gaussian O3 quantum mechanics package. And we pulled the dimer into geometries that had the hydrogen bonded distance is going from 1.5 to 3.5 angstroms, and let the hydrogen bond angle, that's the O dash H, the covalent bond, O hydrogen bond angle, go from 90 to 180 degrees. That and increments that gave us 399 structures that we minimized with quantum mechanics. And we fully optimized them at the 631 plus G star star level, and then did a single point calculation with a little better level of quantum mechanics theory. And then we each one of those minimizations, we got a wave function file, which you can ask for when you do a quantum mechanics calculation, and analyze that with several different programs for doing this atoms and molecule analysis. One of them is AIM-ALL, another one is Morphe-98, another one is AIM-2000, to look for bond critical points, which are an indication of an actual bond between the atoms. So here's the hydrogen bonding distance going from 1.5 to 3.5 angstroms on the x-axis, and here's the hydrogen bond angle going from 90 to 180 degrees here. And this is the contours of calculated energy relative to having an infinite separation between the two methanol molecules. And the ideal geometry shows up here with a calculated energy uncorrected for anything other than just what we got of 5.75 kilocalories of stabilization. You see that shows up at 180 degrees of hydrogen bond angle and 1.9 angstroms. We've also shown a line here published by Savage and Finney in Nature quite a few years ago now, and they said that in water all of the hydrogen bond geometries were on this side of this line, so this was kind of a prohibited region, and you see how the energy is rapidly increasing. Here's the zero energy here, so there's usually some stabilization. Even if you'd compressed the distance is a little bit, but they all preferred experimentally to be over here on this side of that line. Koch and Popelier published a set of criteria for hydrogen bonding. They actually were talking about CHO hydrogen bonds, but these he admits in some later work that these criteria apply to normal hydrogen bonds as well. And I haven't explained a bond critical point yet and bond path here, but those are criteria. If you don't have those, then you don't have a real bond. You may have some sort of another attraction, but it won't be a real bond between the atoms. There's a charge density. In other words, the density of the electrons in space are greater than at the bond critical point. The density is greater than a thousandth of an electron per cubic Bohr, which is the atomic unit. Bohr is about 0.6 angstroms or something like that, and it's the radius of the S orbital in hydrogen according to Niels Bohr, and so that's a fundamental atomic unit. And the second derivative of the electron density, we call it the Laplacian, is positive for closed shell interactions. There's some sort of mutual penetration of the hydrogen and acceptor, but in our work, since we're artificially pulling these atoms apart or compressing them, the mutual interpenetration may not apply too much here. There's a loss of charge by the donated hydrogen atom, and it's destabilized, and there's a decreased polarization of the hydrogen atom and a decrease of hydrogen atom volume, and we can show that very nicely with what we found. So to go on in this AIM theory a little bit, atoms and molecule theory, here's the methanol molecule, and we've got a plane drawn through these four atoms here. The little sliding beads on here are bond critical points. The red atoms, of course, are the oxygens, and the white ones are hydrogens, and the black one is the carbon. So this is a single methanol molecule. And if we look at the electron density in that plane that we just saw, here's the carbon atom and the oxygen atom and the hydroxyl hydrogen here, and one of the hydrogens attached to the methyl carbon, and then the other two hydrogen atoms are here, but they're out of that plane that I showed previously. And you see, as you get closer to the nuclei of the atoms, the electron density goes up. There's not too much electron density concentration around hydrogen because it only has one electron. But if you look at the line between the oxygen and the carbon, you see there's a point where the electron density is a minimum going between these two atoms, but it's higher here than it is in either direction away from that point. And both in the dimensions you see in the plane and coming out of the plane in either direction. And so this is what's called a bond critical point. And if you take the first derivative of the electron density or the gradient of the electron density vector, you'll see that the vectors are oriented along this line. And if you go off in another direction where atoms are bumping into each other, you'll see that in general, this isn't a good example here, but you'll see that those bond vectors do not intersect at a bond critical point. They're when they get to the boundary between the atoms, they go parallel to the boundary. So what's a really interesting thing about this is that in this plane, this is the shape of the hydrogen atom, and this is the shape in this plane of the oxygen atom, controlled by these thick black lines, because this is where the electron density is a minimum between the atoms in question. And here's the other hydrogen atom. You see it's actually quite comparable. And this carbon atom here comes down to a very strange, narrow point here. This outer contour here corresponds to the van der Waals radius, van der Waals surface in a more conventional sort of discussion of the atoms. And I think that's about all I wanted to say here. I've plotted these contours of electron density so that they neck down to specifically show the bond critical points. And this is from Bader's website here. And this is the carbon atom and the depressions in it if you remove the hydrogen atoms, and this is what the hydrogen atoms look like. So people that do molecular mechanics models typically want to think of terms of the atoms as spheres, and the charges and the volumes and the shapes that you get out of an atoms and molecule analysis aren't very applicable. But this is a systematic way of describing these atomic shapes, and we're finding it useful, especially for studying whether or not there's a hydrogen bond in a crystal structure where you have a geometric situation that sort of looks like a hydrogen bond that other people are used to talking about in terms of distance and angle and so forth, but is it really a hydrogen bond? And we're finding that a lot of cases it isn't really hydrogen bonded. Well, now here's the methanol dimer with the bond critical points. So here's the donor methanol molecule here. It's carbon, it's oxygen, it's hydrogen that's being donated. You notice how close the bond critical point is to the hydrogen. And then this is the hydrogen bond path here and the hydrogen bond critical point. And then this is the acceptor molecule with its hydroxyl group. So this is the ideal geometry of the methanol dimer. And this is the electron density plot through that plane again. And here's the bond path and the bond critical point for the hydrogen bond itself. And this is the volume or the shape of the hydrogen atom itself. Here's the center of it, here the nucleus. And this is where its electron density drops off to the minimum value in between this hydrogen here and this oxygen here, for instance. So this is a very strange shape for a hydrogen atom. But if you define it, say the limit of the hydrogen is where the electron density drops off to a minimum, then that's what you'd have to say it looks like. And going back to our energy map here, now all of these places where there are little plus signs are where we found a bond critical point for this hydrogen bonding interaction of the conventional OHO hydrogen bond. And you see down here in the 100 degree bond angle up to 110 or 115, depending on the distance here, these bond critical points for that OHO hydrogen bond have gone away. And so this is why a lot of analyses or criteria that people have for whether there's a hydrogen bond are that you have to have a hydrogen bond angle greater than 110 degrees or something like that, or they don't want to count it. And you see it depends on the distance here. And this is a little bit more conventional representation of the two molecules in the dimer. So this is our ideal length here, 1.9 angstroms. And one of the interesting things, the volume of this donated hydrogen here is very small, just a little under 16 cubic angstroms compared, that's cubic bores, sorry. Compared to 24 cubic bores for this proton here that's just the acceptor hydroxyl group's hydrogen atom that's not involved otherwise in the hydrogen bond. Another geometric thing that's very interesting is this carbon-oxygen bond here is considerably shorter than this carbon-oxygen bond here on the acceptor molecule. 0.015 angstroms distance difference, which we can easily see with diffraction studies, for instance. And here what I've done is I've summed up the electron density at all the bond critical points, whether or not they were for the OHO interaction or for some other interactions that were non-bonded in the crystal. And so you remember that we had lowered energy clear down here, even though we didn't have any hydrogen bonding down in this region for the OHO hydrogen bonds. So these other bond critical points, which are all still greater than the 0.001 in Koch and Popelier's criteria, show that there's attractive interactions going on here. So what's going on in this region? Sorry. So here's a structure. We'll go back here. It's at 2.5 angstroms here and 120 degrees. So what's going on in this region right here? And what we see is that Here is our donating OHO hydrogen bond. So the hydrogen bonds are now shown by dashed lines. And here we have an OHO hydrogen bond with, the electron density at the bond critical point well above 0.001, and a positive second derivative of the electron density in all cases here. So this is our donor and our acceptor molecule here. But you see another, the CHO interaction is also occurring as the optimized geometry when we force this OHO angle here to be 120 degrees and this distance to be 2.5 angstroms. Then this molecule rotates around and it not only forms this CHO hydrogen bond here, but the methyl group here rotates around, so we can also get a CHO hydrogen bond here. So in the lower part of the energy map that I just showed, we're getting other hydrogen bonds showing up, CHO hydrogen bonds that explain the lowered energy. And this is just a summary here of, like in the case of the other one. Now, we were about at 16 cubic bores for this proton here in the ideal situation, and now it's up to 23 cubic bores, and it's not so different from this proton here. But anyway, we've also normalized this distance here to a fair extent, although this is still longer than this distance here for this, molecule, for this carbon-oxygen bond. And this shows, as you go over the 1.5 to 3.5 angstrom distance, between 140 and 180, where only the OHO hydrogen bond is being found. No bond critical points for CHO hydrogen bonds were found in this range. You see how the volume of the donor proton versus the isolated hydroxyl proton, and this was from the methanol monomer here, how much of a difference in cubic bores there is. And the people with a little more experience would say that the accuracy of these atomic volumes is not any better than about a cubic bore. So there's some noise out at this point. But anyway, it's showing that over a very long OHO distance, we're getting some attraction here, just based on this criterion of volume of the hydrogen atom. And this shows how the energy is changing over this range. It's pretty much independent of the hydrogen bond angle. And this, by the way, Jody, is a very similar energy curve to one that Kirshner and Woods published in JPhys Chem back in about 2002 or something like that, with Hartree-Fock 631 G star calculations. This basin is about 3/4 of a kilocalorie deeper because we used the B3 lip theory with a bigger basis set, but we didn't do a BSSE correction like they did. So it's maybe a little better calculation, but nothing to brag about. And this just shows how the acceptor bond length, either at 140 degrees or at 180 degrees, decreases as we change the hydrogen bond length between our 1.5 and 3.5 angstroms, and how the donor bond length for either at either the bottom or top of those curves changes. And they don't quite converge here, even at 3.5 angstroms. So it shows that there is some hydrogen bonding going out, even out here at this very long distance, that's commensurate with the lowered energy. We were still looking at, you see, this is still 2 kilocalories of stabilization out here at over 3 angstroms of separation. So in conclusion here, I'd like to say that the methanol dimer can be stabilized by both OHO and CHO hydrogen bonds. The bond critical points and other criteria occur over almost all of the OH distance and OH angle space that we studied. And the angles of 140 degrees and larger as optimized, gave only OHO hydrogen bonds. That's the end of my talk. So, open for questions. Yes?
So, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, I've seen you talk about this over at your office. You know, I'd never thought of things that way, and a lot of things are really surprising. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to model a big system, I'm going to use a classical force.
You bet. But you can certainly, you can do both.
What can we do to, what's going to be the feedback between, you know, larger scale classical force fields and this type of analysis to try to get a more coherent picture of what's going on?
Well, one thing that occurs to me was you may have noticed there was a little challenge to our use of the MM3 and MM4 force fields here earlier today, and that would be a momentary calculation to repeat this with any of the force fields to see how well they conform to this. And one of the consequences in the glycam parameterization is that the hydrogen, the CH methine hydrogen charges are zero in glycam. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure how well they will mimic us perform in a CHO hydrogen bonding situation. And that's a good question, I think. And I at the same time, the B3 LYP density functional theory is not necessarily the best one for studying these non-bonded interactions because it doesn't have complete electron correlation treatment. MP2 would overestimate it, but we can do the calculations with MP2. I haven't published this thing because I'm aware that this is kind of a qualitative starter study. And it wouldn't take, it's just a day or two calculation once Glenn sets it up to crunch it, because the number of atoms is so small we can deal with good quantum mechanics on this.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a consumer, so I have to kind of know what people are doing, but at the end of the day, but I'm going to just take your word for it at the end of the day, too.
Well, I don't think this is so bad. Rob did a whole lot of different levels of theory in that Kirshner and Woods theory, and he just mapped the 180 degree structure. He didn't map the other structures. But the curves are you know, they're very plausibly similar to each other. But he got a comparable minima with a dozen or 25 different levels of theory.
I think you mentioned that you didn't use BSSCE for your calculation.
Basis set superposition error. Yeah.
Why didn't you do that?
Well, because if you use a big enough basis set for the calculation, then you don't have to worry about the electrons spending time in the orbitals of the other molecule, which is what a basis set superposition error correction is for. And so it's simpler and cleaner to just use a big basis set. And that's why we tacked on the single point calculation with the better basis set. But it's relatively independent of that. The results, the calculated energies are not so different.
How big is the Van der Waals surface of a hydrogen by itself? You tell me 16 Bohr for your
cubic bores for the volume
for
of
the volume of it. Well,
but it's not it's
hydrogen it, by itself. What
it's
is
it's
it?
Not sphere. Well, there was 24 cubic bores for that proton that was
right.
In the other hydroxyl group.
Right, but you know the Bohr itself is what the position of maximum density.
Well, the volumes that I'm quoting are at the 0.001
right,
atomic
right,
units.
Right, it's the 0.001, but the unit comes from that. I was just wondering how big a hydrogen atom, lone hydrogen atom in a vacuum, how big is that? I don't know.
Yeah, well,
you go out to 0.001.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean.
Just because I look at it and I go, well, yeah, I can see that they're changing, but I just wonder how big a hydrogen is.
Yeah, well.
You don't know it off the top of your head?
No, I don't know it off the top of
my head. I'm not going to run off to my quantum chemistry book.
Yeah, I mean, other people have calculated this, I'm sure. Okay, well, I want to thank everybody, especially Candace, who came out of her comfort zone for this presentation. And I really would be delighted to show you some of this stuff with the calculated diffraction patterns from these different models. So Jody showed one. Maybe we can.
Actually, I would love to see that. I have seen Raj talk about the twisted microfibrils.